Well, today is Mother's Day, a holiday sort of made up by God, because except he didn't pick one day, right? He said every day is Mother's Day when he said, honor your father and mother. But then there's some debate about where it started. Some people say it started in West Virginia. I think that's widely accepted. And then Hallmark ran with it. Do you know that as I was researching the sermon for this week, with it being Mother's Day and Ascension Sunday, as I was researching the sermon this week and studying the sermon this week, that Tim Hortons, during Lent, you don't know what I'm going to say, right? Yeah, well, during Lent, Tim Hortons had this idea that they started a program. I think it was called Fill It to the Rim. I don't remember what it was called, but it was pushing coffee during Lent. Now, why would Tim Hortons start a program to push coffee during Lent? Because everybody's giving up coffee for Lent. When it comes time to give up something before Easter, that's Lent, L-E-N-T, a lot of people give up coffee. A lot of people give up soda. And so Tim Hortons noticed that their sales were going down during Lent. And so they start an advertising campaign to, I don't know how they did it, but to try to encourage people to drink coffee during Lent. Don't give up coffee. So, I don't know, the whole Mother's Day thing, it's just like Diane's birthday. Every day is like Diane's birthday. Every day of the year. She never knows when she's going to get flowers. She never knows, right? So we don't treat people well one day of the year. And so as I was preparing for today and Ascension Sunday, it's a shame that Ascension Sunday and Mother's Day falls on the same day today, and so many people are going to be preaching Mother's Day sermons because Ascension Sunday gets overlooked. And you may have heard me say this before, but one Ascension Sunday, I preached the sermon, and apparently I wasn't clear enough because one of the long-standing people in the church that I was preaching in said to another person, who then came up and told me, that so-and-so said, what in the world is he talking about? Jesus going up in the clouds. They've been in church their whole life and they didn't know this. And so it's an often overlooked scripture, and it's an often overlooked story. And part of the reason is because it's another one of those things that's so unbelievable. I mean, it defies the laws of gravity. So let's go ahead and go to the scripture. After Jesus had said this, now remember last week we read the earlier part of Acts, and Jesus is telling them, previous to this, that I'm going to send a helper, you're going to receive power when... Don't leave Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. This was previous to this. So after Jesus had said this, and while they were watching, he was taken up into a cloud. They could not see him, but as he went up, they kept looking up into the sky. And I just keep thinking of a balloon. I mean, that's what every one of us has probably seen a balloon released. And you just have a tendency to watch it until you can't see it anymore. And so, suddenly, two men dressed in white clothes were there standing beside them. They said, "Why are you men from Galilee standing here looking up into the sky? Jesus has been taken to heaven, but he will come back in the same way that you have seen him go." Sometimes when people are dying, I've been with families. I remember the first time when I'd only been a pastor for a few months. I mean, I remember my dad, when my dad died, and like all the kids came in and everybody was there. But I remember the first time I got called as a pastor when someone was dying, and I went down to the hospital, and there must have been 30 people there. I mean, it was crazy how many people were there. And people will sometimes say, it's you know, we're all here, it's okay to go. And when in that case, everybody's, the most important people in your life are there, right? I mean, normally. That's who you want there. The most important people in your life. I can imagine, you know, Jesus, he didn't make any mistakes. He appeared to the disciples when Thomas was gone. He didn't show up and then think, "Oh, Thomas isn't here. Where's Thomas?" He knew Thomas wasn't there, and he's going to use Thomas as the poster child for, "O ye of little faith." Poor Thomas. If you look up "no faith" in the dictionary, it's got Thomas's picture under it. And so Jesus, he knows that today's the day. You know, there were some days, don't you figure there were some days in Jesus' ministry that he was really not looking forward to? And then there were some days he was really looking forward to. I mean, feeding the 5,000, I imagine he woke up early that day and he's going, "This is going to be an awesome day. Man, I am going to make the... I'm going to blow their minds today." And then Thursday night, before the cross, he was in such agony. And Friday was a day that, since he laid the foundations of the earth, he was dreading Good Friday. You ever had an appointment coming up and you just dread it? But this is ascension. This is the ascension, and I bet he woke up early this day too, and he thought to himself, "I'm going home today." And I want all my friends there. And so it says that they were gathered around him. He knew what was going to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen. And they're standing there, and there he goes. It defies the laws of gravity. But do you know there are some laws that defy the law of gravity? The law of aerodynamics defies the law of gravity. Isn't it crazy that there is a 60-ton airplane I don't know how much it weighs. Isn't it crazy that there's this airplane and we throw, if you can take a 40-pound suitcase, you take a 42-pound suitcase, right? And then if they make you take a couple things out, okay, I'll take them out and I'll put on an extra shirt and put on a second pair of pants, but the weight is still going on there because I need all those clothes on vacation. And Diane said, yeah, we're driving to Florida. Isn't it crazy that this several ton airplane you can throw on all this luggage and you can put on all these people and then it will go up in the air? Like, who thought of that? I mean, I know you're going, the Wright brothers. It defies logic. It defies common sense. And so here goes Jesus, defying, as he always does, defying logic, defying reason, defying common sense, and he goes up into the sky. And there's a reason for this day. It had been 40 days. Now, different people have different reasons for 40 days. It had been 40 days since the resurrection. So today, technically, it's Ascension Sunday, but the Ascension always falls midweek, and that's probably another reason that it, because 40 days after, you can do the math if there's 7 days in a week, you can't hit 40 days to be on a Sunday. So Ascension is never on a Sunday, but when the church comes together, we could have an Ascension service on the day that the Ascension that we celebrated as the church after 40 days, but nobody would come. And so we talk about it today. And so there's different philosophies about why Jesus waited 40 days. Some people say that it's, you ever had a dog that did something on the floor and you rub its nose in it? Well, some people say that Jesus was rubbing Satan's nose in it. That Satan, what's the significance of Satan in 40 days and Jesus? Satan took Jesus out in the wilderness and tempted him for 40 days. So some people think Jesus was rubbing Satan's nose in it one day for every... Defeated death! Defeated death! Not only for me, but for all of them. And Satan's going, oh, I hate it when he's right, and he's always right. But whatever the reason, 40 days, Jesus is popping in and out of their lives for 40 days. Something's got to give, because this just can't keep going on like this. Although it would be awesome if it did, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you, if you just love... It's like sometimes the DS walks in and the preacher hasn't prepared enough for their sermon and they're going, oh, of all the days for the DS to come in. It's like Jesus walks in one day and you're going, oh, I wish I'd have prepared more. And you who didn't come to church that Sunday would be going, oh, of all the days to miss. It's one of the days Jesus shows up. He knows. I hate it when the preacher doesn't know I'm there, but man, when Jesus knows I'm not there, I mean when the preacher knows I'm not there, because... So it can't keep going on like this. He's popping in, popping out. They never know where he's going to be, when he's going to show up. And so apparently he gets them all together. It tells us in another place at Bethany. And it's like the fireworks. You know when the fireworks are over, don't you? Have you been to enough fireworks displays to know when it's over? This was the fireworks at the end of the fireworks. You ooh and you ah as the fireworks are going on, but at the end you're sort of speechless, aren't you? Like, you ooh and ah over an individual firework, but at the end, you stand there. You don't say anything. And then when it's over, everybody claps and everybody goes home. There had to be something so that the disciples would know. If he had just appeared and not appeared and appeared and not appeared, and then the space had got less frequent that he appears until eventually he just doesn't appear anymore, what kind of resolution would that have been? But everybody gets together, and there he goes. And then the two men in white say, "There he goes, and there you go." And now, wait for the promise of the Father. I don't know what it is about 8:30. Like, this sermon has gone nothing like my notes. And Diane usually tells me 8:30 was better than 11. And so right now I'm thinking, I'm just about done. And I'm already thinking, oh Lord, I think this was exactly what I was supposed to say. And I'm already thinking, Lord, do it again at 11. Give me the words again at 11. The only thing that I haven't covered is it says the practicality of it for us is that it says he's coming back. It's not like they're going to play a video in reverse. If you were here on Good Friday and you saw that those words that were going on the screen, Jolynn's shaking her head, Pee-wee shake, and then all of a sudden you start reading the words backwards, and I'm getting cold chills right now just thinking about that. Like, I'm looking out here at people on Good Friday and they're going, like, it was so discouraging when you were reading it this way, and then you just read it the other way, and it was so encouraging. And it's not going to be like a movie just played backwards, because at the Ascension, they were just pretty much the believers there. It was just pretty much the people who were closest to Jesus was there. And so not everybody saw it. But when he comes back, everybody's going to see it. And it's going to be good news for some people. When he went to heaven, that's good news because he's holding the door open for you and me. When he comes back, he's coming back to shut the door. And it's going to be good news for those who have already put a foot through the door. And it's going to be bad news for those who haven't. And we live like he's never coming back. When he comes back, every eye will see him, and every knee will bow. And those who are in Christ he will say, "Come, enter my Father's kingdom." and those who are not. The all-important practical call of the ascension is that we are ready for His return. Let's rejoice in the witness of the ascension. Historically, it assures us of the completed work of Christ. When Jesus went back to heaven, His work was done. It teaches us of Jesus' triumphant entry into heaven and His continuing ministry on our behalf. And practically, it reminds us of the second coming of Christ to judge the world and our need to be ready at all times to give an account of our stewardship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day that we remember Jesus being done, walking around the earth. And we thank You that it was a day that Luke has told us about. We thank You that we don't have to wonder why Jesus quit appearing to the disciples. We thank You that You have told us that He went back to His rightful place, the place from which He came, and that He is there with You right now. And there is an open door that no man can shut, that one day You will shut. And so we thank You for this time of grace that we live under and this offer of salvation for each of us, that should we choose to say yes to what Jesus accomplished on earth, that He will one day welcome us into heaven. And we need not fear His return, and we need not fear the grave. And we pray that You would send us out of here as people who believe it, and as people who feel an obligation to tell others about it. We give You thanks in His name. Amen.